May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the opening of Disney World in Florida on October 1st, 1971, Lillian Disney gave the inaugural speech. Her husband had passed away. An interviewer said to her, "I wish Mr. Disney had lived to see it." And Mrs. Disney said, "He did." What is now Disney World was once a vision of a man who died 5 years before it was opened. Disney World opened 53 years ago this past October. You may remember the 50th anniversary a few years ago. Nothing is created without being first conceived or seen in our minds. The author of Momentum for Life, Michael Slaughter, writes, "The essence of faith is vision." Slaughter recalled the words of Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." Hebrews chapter 11 defines the hallmarks of faith, showcasing people of God who are always stretching forward. And Slaughter maintains that vision is the natural result of living in the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, guided by that Spirit, having access to the mind of Christ, which enables us then to have connection to the limitless ideas of God. So this is the fourth series in a series of messages, on creating momentum in our lives. We're working on the acronym DRIVE from Pastor Michael Slaughter's book, Momentum for Life. The D of DRIVE stands for devotion for God. R is readiness for lifetime learning. I, we talked about last week, is investing in key relationships. V indicates vision for the future. We're speaking about that today. And E stands for eating and exercise, being healthy, living on this earth as long as we can, making an impact for the kingdom of God. It is said that Disney World was the result of a vision of a man who did not live to see it become a reality, but he saw it nonetheless. That was the point that his wife was making. In the church, that is often the case. Not only is that a fact, but in some significant ways, it is widely accepted and even anticipated as just how the church works. Yeah. When on vacation the summer of 2017, Ruth and I attended worship in Charlevoix at the United Methodist Church there. They were gearing up for a mission trip to Henderson Settlement, where Ruth and I facilitated the first youth mission trip in the church where we met and married. We went the summer of 1991, taking with us 13 youth and a third adult. And that first youth mission trip to Appalachian Mountain in Kentucky was considered a great success, and we planned the return trip the next summer, but then we were asked to move to Oxford to serve the United Methodist Church there in that village, and so others led that return trip to Henderson. And before COVID-19 struck, they had taken their 26th youth mission trip back to Henderson Settlement. I would have liked to have been at that second one. Didn't go. Couldn't go. Wasn't the pastor there anymore. But it continued on. As a people of faith, we believe that the sequence of developing a vision does not begin with human conception of an idea. The sequence is much more powerful. That sequence is received and conceived and then achieved. And while much of what we need to make something happen in the world comes from within the minds of visionary leaders, there is first the sense that we do so as a church and involve God's guidance and holy nudging towards something great for God's kingdom on earth. When we are in tune with God's will, then we receive a vision of the future based on God's specific purpose for our lives. We can check God's vision as to whether it is in accord with our study and understanding of Scripture, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, the state of the church that we are working in. We can conceive the vision for our future. Conception of the future God desires involves our ability to internalize then what it is that God desires. When people come to me for counsel, I often ask them, what do you believe God wants? What do you think God wants at this moment in your life? Pastor Slaughter writes, Jeremiah was an effective prophet, but before God could use him, he had to formulate God's vision. The first question God asked Jeremiah is, what do you see? What do you see as possible? People tend to live with one of two perspectives, either a microscopic view of life or a telescopic view of life. The microscopic view is based on your current circumstances, what you see and feel in the moment. You're focused in the immediate. When I began my ministry, I was single, and so I was giving my mother a tour of the church building where I was serving at that time. And although it was a large congregation, the sanctuary was really rather tiny. And when I opened the door to the sanctuary, my mother gasped, and I turned around thinking maybe she was tripping or falling. She just stood there, and she just said, "It's so tiny." Shoot, I was the youth pastor, and all I saw was a wonderful space for youth to engage with God and with each other. We claimed the small balcony for ourselves, and soon 15 to 20 youth were always in the balcony because that space became cool. We had many worship services in the chancel area. I taught the youth the pew slide, which is racing underneath the pews back and forth. It's fun. And I stopped doing it when I first got beat by one of the youth. But anyway... But it was fun. We had a great time in that sanctuary. And then they built after I went away from that church, they built a much larger sanctuary. Where my mom saw a tiny worship space, I looked for ways to engage with the youth of our church. And I've told so many times the story where we flew paper airplanes toward the front of the church trying to get closer to God. And one of them got caught in the chandeliers, and I got in trouble for that anyway. I said, isn't it great to have youth in the church? Amen? But the telescopic view looks forward to what God is creating for the future. People with a microscopic view of life focus on problems. Telescopic people see greater possibilities, inspired by God, strengthened by God's Holy Spirit, guided by that same Spirit, to move from the receiving of a vision to the conceiving, giving it life. Chris Valaton, one of the pastors of Bethel Church in Redding, California, wrote, quote, "Vision is what we see, but is also the way in which we see. Vision is the lens that interpret the events of our life, the way we view people and our concept of God. If we have a scratch on our glasses, it may seem that everybody around us has scratches too, but the problem actually lies with us because our vision is impaired," end quote. She's trying to get us to see beyond our own lens and around our own sense of inability and flaws and shortcomings to see a greater vision for God. Jesus said that our eyes are the windows of our hearts. Paul prayed that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. In other words, we perceive with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. Our minds receive images from our eyes, but our hearts interpret those images. If our heart becomes bitter, jealous, hurt, or in some way infected, the lens of our heart is distorted. What we perceive is happening and what is really going on could be two completely different things. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The word truth here is not referring to the Bible itself, although truth is rooted in the Scriptures. But here the word truth means reality. Jesus is saying you will understand what is real and it will set you free. So many of us live in a virtual reality with technological advances. Our reality is literally virtual. The way we view life can feel and look real or make perfect sense, but still not be real at all. If you watched a good movie and gotten totally into it, you experience all the emotions of real life portrayed in that movie, and you may even leave the theater still feeling the movie, but was it just a movie? It wasn't real. The truth is, we see what we believe to be true. Having a revelation of what is real will deliver us from a life of torment that virtual reality often causes. So we receive and we conceive a vision that can lead us toward vital ministry. And all that's left is to achieve the vision. After the plan is established, goals must be set. Paul wrote to the Philippians, I press on toward the goal of the prize for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Goals are simply the vision broken down into smaller pieces that are measured in time and space. In other words, they are specified parts of the vision that you can accomplish at a predetermined date. Many people don't like to set goals because they think that if they are not able to accomplish them on time, they have failed. The truth of the matter is, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. You've heard that probably thousands of times. Valentine writes, great leaders know that setting goals is what gives the mission a sense of urgency. This has to be done at this time. Urgency is a friend as it sets the pace for those who are carrying out the mission. If wisdom is used in goal setting, very little management is needed to motivate us since we have this inner sense of urgency. We must find a balance between being overwhelmed with too big a task and at the same time we don't want to set goals so low as to lose that sense of urgency. That's why we're going to meet after the church to talk about de-churched people. It is the biggest change in church attendance ever in the history of in the recorded history of humanity. We've lost 40 million people, the church has lost in the last 25 years. And it's just now catching up in the evangelical church. You see, our church, mainline churches, we started to de-church back in the 70s. Now we've kind of begun to come back, redefined who we are. So that's why I want us to have these meetings and start to talk about what would it mean to invite people to come back, to be strategic, as we spoke of it last week, in investing in relationships, to bring people back to the church. And overwhelmingly, in many of the sectors and many of the different types of people, there are five different profiles of people who've left the church. Many of them would say all it would take to come back to church is an invitation. Can we think about how that would look like in our church, in your neighborhood, in your families? So I've been thinking about God's vision for Central Church. I certainly have made progress toward receiving and conceiving how we can work with God to fulfill God's desire for our church. Post-pandemic and in light of the great de-churching of this last 25 years. Early in my time here, lots of changes were made to our building in order to better welcome people. Handicap accessibility has been greatly increased. We have a mission statement that I believe still captures to this day our intent for our church and community. We're getting back to a full slate of leadership in our church, which has definitely suffered since COVID-19. I'm really looking forward to Lent this year. Our brochure with all our programming will be sent out this next week. We continue to reach out into our community with partner ministries and great outreach opportunities, from our Trunk and Treat program to Carols and Beer to summer programs for children and youth. You'll see a different Holy Week schedule that we have, as we have a youth-led breakfast on Palm Sunday rather than Easter Sunday. We're just trying new things. And I hope that we will have coffee hour instituted by Easter Sunday morning. We're working on our staff job descriptions to make sure that they are aligned with the leading of this church in ways that are meaningful and getting you, the laity of the church, more connected with the day-to-day facilitation of our ministries. On February 22nd, I'll be attending a workshop on outreach and community connection. We have four persons who are going to attend that workshop. It's a free workshop sponsored by the Detroit Union, where I serve on the Board of Trustees. I believe in a vision of greater days in this year and beyond for Central Church. We've already heard the scripture that where there is no vision, the people will perish. So let me share with you the words of Helen Keller. She said, the saddest thing in the world is the people who can see but have no vision. So what's your vision? What's your vision for your faith, for the church, for our church? What do you want your life to look like by the end of this year in relationship with God, with each other, and with the world in which we are engaged? May we receive and conceive and achieve all that God desires for ourselves, our church, and our world. And that's the word of God for the people of God today at Central Church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.